This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Good morning, everybody. This is Charlie Epps on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, live from Golf Studios in Houston, Texas. And we're going to talk golf. And what a week last week was. It was incredible, the Masters. My sidekick, Will, is on the injured reserve this morning, so I'm flying solo with Sean, or my producer. We're going to have a good time. Bruce Davidson's going to join us a little later. But, wow, what a Masters champion we have, Scottie Scheffler. Now, here's a stat that some of you probably aren't aware of, that he has won almost 100 tournaments in his career already. 100. He won 90 events as a junior in North Texas. He just matured as a golfer so quick under the tutelage of Randy Smith, the pro at River Oak, Royal Oaks in Dallas. And Randy has had a lot of success with a lot of kids, a lot of champions, the British Open champion, Justin Leonard, to name another one. But Scotty, wow, what a display of talent, of nerves, of being able to handle situations that, you know, you would think somebody of his age could not do. And he outplayed everybody in the field, all of the top players. And now he's ranked number one in the world. And why? Why? How do you do that? Well, you find a guy like Randy Smith, who's a dedicated teaching pro, and send your kids to that type of a gentleman and get him involved in the Southern Texas PGA Junior Program or the Northern Texas PGA Program, and the sky's the limit. And today, golf is exploding. We've got more news about Greg Norman and what he's doing around the world. You know, he wants to create more world golf, and he's going to do it. He's got the money behind him. We got the RBC tournament going on. Anyways, stay tuned. We're going to talk golf. We're going to talk with Bruce Davidson. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, a company that inspires business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Will Doctor is on IR this morning. He's convalescing, so it's Charlie Epps solo in studio. But shortly we'll be joined by Bruce Davidson, a great golf professional that is really doing some great work over in South Carolina with his new project. But so is Greg Norman. Greg Norman has set the stage where he's going to promote worldwide golf. And now it's going to have another twist to it. It's worldwide amateur golf. He's going to allow amateurs to play in his events. He's already announced his schedule. It's going to start in June. They're going to have tournaments starting in London. And they're going to, you know, create more golf worldwide, and there's nothing wrong with that. And sure, you're going to compete with the PGA Tour, but they'll find a way to coexist. There's room for everybody, especially when you have $250 million to give away to people that want to play golf. I have no problem with what Greg Norman's doing. It's gotten Phil Mickelson in a little trouble. He misspoke a few times a couple months ago, but he announced that he's going to start playing again. He's registered for the U.S. Open. He'll play in the British Open along with, and Tiger didn't disappoint anybody this year. He announced that he was going to play at the Masters. He went there. He played. He made the cut. You could see that, you know, he was injured. He's working through some really difficult times. But this man has more guts and determination than anybody that I know. I mean, Tiger is just incredible on what he's done. Think about a year ago, about 14 months ago, when he had that horrific accident, and he actually crushed his right heel, and now he's playing golf at a high level. And he beat a lot of guys. A lot of guys didn't make the cut, starting with Jordan Spieth, starting with, all of the great ones. So stay tuned for what Greg Norman is going to do for worldwide golf and encourage amateurs to join the field. It's going to change the horizon of golf, but it's going to, in a good way. There's so many good things happening in the game of golf because it's such a great game. For example, my grandson goes to Memorial High School. They had 30 kids go out for golf. They have kids that don't want to play football, go and have getting concussions, getting hurt, ruining their future. Golf is a game. It's a non-contact sport. It's a mental sport, but it's a game that you can play for a lifetime. So my hat is off to Greg Norman and his initiative. I think that is spot on. And once again, Tiger also announced, as he finished playing in Augusta, he committed to play in a pro-am in Ireland before the British Open. So he's going to go to return to St. Andrews, the home of his great victories in the Open Championship. I won't call it the British Open because Bruce is coming on, and it's the Open Championship, right, Sean? But couple things about what Tiger did. You know, he showed us how much he loves the game of golf. He showed us how much he wants to compete. He showed us what is inside him. And a different personality. I saw more smiles this week at Augusta from Tiger Woods than I've seen in his whole career. He was a serious, determined individual, but now he's maturing and he sees, you know, his career is, you know, not what it once was, but he's still going to share his ability to get out there and play the game of golf. So my hat's off to Tiger Woods for doing what he's doing for golf and for just showing what you have to do as a human being. Having said that, we go another week. We start another golf tournament, and it's at the Heritage RBC Pro tournament in Hilton Head. And on top of the leaderboard is Patrick Cantlay, RBC Heritage. Cantlay has won already this season, and he's proven that he is a doer and a great example of control and determination. He also had some setbacks, as we all have setbacks in our lives. He lost a good friend of his in a horrific car accident, and he came back, and he's determined, and he's showing us that he can play golf. But, you know, underneath him at RBC, you have a guy named Streb. You got Tringali. You got Wise, all names that aren't really household names but are good players. And this golf course is a special golf course. It's designed by Pete Dye and Jack Nicklaus, and it's short, tight, and so you have to be more exact, more accurate, and so the bombers are not at the top of the field. And speaking of bombers, DeChambeau announced, you know, he just had an operation on his wrist. Well, you know, when you do what he did to his body and you swing as hard as he did, you're going to suffer injuries, and he's paying the price. But a special guy sits tied for eighth is a guy named Joaquin Niemann from Chile. And this young man is playing for somebody very, very special. And he has a niece that has some horrific disease, and that she needs $1 million for medication, and he's made it his mission to make sure that this young lady gets the medication that she needs, and it's a great story, and I'm really proud of that young man. And on the horizon is Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is 5 under. He's playing a little better. He's working, you know, real hard to get his game back as it once was in 2015 when he had just a terrific run of great golf, won three majors, and now, you know, he's coming back from some misguided information, you might say, and he tried to change. And sometimes you're so good, you don't need to change. You just got to be patient and let, like Jackie Burke says, the majors will find you. You don't go after them. You just keep playing, stay disciplined, practice. And, he's gotten married. He has a new child that he has to babysit for. So, but I think the person to watch out for this week that on the weekend is Shane Lowry. He won the Open Championship a couple years ago, and he's been on the cusp of really turning his game around and playing well. And if there's one guy that I think can play this golf course, it's Shane. But he's four back from Patrick Cantlay. I don't know. In following the PGA Tour, there's so many different stories. There's a gentleman by the name of Morgan Hoffman that was diagnosed with MS. And so what he did is he took 2.5 years off. He went into a lot of holistic medicine. He went all over the world trying to find really holistic medicine and cures to MS. And I, son of a gun, just came back this week and played and missed the cut by one. My hat's off to him. I mean, what he's going through, and we all go through. There's so many people in this world that are faced with so many different diseases. We just got to all hang tough. But the PGA Tour is healthy. We're going to have good amateur golf starting now. The colleges are starting to finish their programs. We're going to have the NCAA men and women's golf here in late April, the championships for the conferences, and then they go into the NCAA championship, which is televised. And that's what's growing the game, everybody. Everybody, we have so many great professionals, starting with the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour, the PGA Pro, that promotes the game at their golf course, whether it's a private course, a daily fee golf course. Jim Crane changed the footprint at Memorial Park. We now have a tour event there, but there's 300 people at that golf course every day playing golf, and everybody's got. I call it golf a sickness. Once it gets inside of you, it really festers, and you want more, and you want more. And once you hit a good shot, you want another good shot. So it's a magical game. But right now it's 8:22, and before we break, I want to tell you about our sponsor, and I'm so proud to have Insperity as my sponsor for so many years. And, you know, during this recent health crisis and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above the challenges. Insperity is ready to provide support and guidance, leading their clients to resources never before known and with very little risk. And Insperity was established in 1986, and since then it's grown to a $4 billion company. It's got 4,000 great employees, offices all over the United States, that their main mission is help small businesses. And they're an HR company, and it's an HR company that makes a difference, because they are so honest and friendly, and they know what they're doing. Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Right, Sean? Am I doing okay? Huh? What time's the next break? Right now. So I'm going to give it to Sean. You go ahead, and we'll be right back, everybody. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
Welcome back, everybody. Will Doctor is under a little sickness this morning, you might say, a little flu. He'll be back next week, we hope. Will, I know you're listening, and I hope I'm doing okay for you. But today we're joined with another special friend of mine. His name is Bruce Davidson. His career in golf is really second to none, almost. He came from Scotland, from Aberdeen, Scotland. He came to Houston to go to college. He went to work for Dick Harmon at River Oaks. He is a doer. He's done so much in golf. He's involved in a project now at a course called Congaree in the lowlands of South Carolina. I went to visit it a couple of weeks ago, and what he's done there is just it's unbelievable. And the main thing that the Congaree is all about is philanthropy. They raise money for charity. They have a super worldwide amateur kids junior program to grow the game. But having said that, Bruce, good morning, and I appreciate you coming on this morning on the show.
Morning, Charlie. That was a big intro. Don't know if I can quite live up to that, but thanks for that. Yes, good morning.
Well, Bruce, you're living the dream. I mean, we golf professionals get to do so many creative things, and you've taken it to the next level. You have really, and I know that every time you wake up in Congaree, that was one of your dreams, to put together a facility where people can enjoy the game, can enjoy quality environment, a great golf course. But the driving force with you and John McNeely and your partner is junior golf and worldwide junior golf. Explain to us a little about what's going on there and what you've done the last few years.
Well, Charlie, I think it's important to say that John McNeely and I had kicked around an idea for 20 years, and, you know, two golf pros together couldn't do what we've managed to do down there. But when Mr. Friedkin and Mr. McNair became involved, then all of a sudden we had some legs to the idea. And it was very easy to create what we wanted to do with their help, because they just said it had to be the best. So when you have two partners who allow you to be creative and the focus is to be the best of the best, then that's why Congaree was possible. I mean, Dan was just an incredible owner, as was Mr. McNair before he sadly passed. But the idea really was to college together 300 guys. We're at 250 now. I don't know if we're even going to go to 300, to be honest. But golf is great, Charlie. As you know, golf pros, we get to meet the best people in the world. We get to meet the movers and the shakers of all industries. And generally speaking, golf attracts good people. And John and I always thought we could get 300 guys together to make a difference, to create a network for kids. John and I both came from working class backgrounds, and we're very lucky to be educated because we played golf. We were both the first and only child in our family to go to college. And we just wanted to do that. And then, of course, where it's situated in Jasper County, South Carolina, that was serendipity. I mean, we found the property, the ideal property to build a golf course, simply because of the soil. And it happened to be in the poorest county in South Carolina, so that allowed us to investigate how we could make a difference locally in the community. And so our initiatives are not just the worldwide, what we call Global Golf Initiative, where we take kids from all over the world to Congaree to get them on a path to go to college. We also do a lot in the local community. We've bought a 9-hole golf course because there wasn't one for kids to play. We have about 300 kids at the high school now playing golf, whereas there were zero in 2015. We do a lot with the Low Country Food Bank to make sure that folks have plenty to eat the weekends. And the Boys and Girls Club is a big recipient of our funds at Congaree. And so far, our ambassadors, as we call them, our ambassadors have helped us raise nearly $14 million.
You know, it's just mind-boggling what you've accomplished in a short time. And during all of this, constructing the course, getting it going and all that, you have a tour event. I mean, that's just kind of unheard of, that early on in a golf course, to host a tour event, you and your group, in a short period of time, put together an incredible, tournament. And tell me a little about how that came about. Give me.
Well, we were asked to make a pitch for the 2026 President's Cup because, as everyone knows now, it was being taken away from Harding Park. And we were one of six clubs. We were certainly the outsider. We were a yearling, really, in a race. But we ended up being second in that race to Medina. And, you know, caps off to Medina. They've had multiple tournaments there. The PGA Tour made that decision, I think, based on the fans. They thought they'd get more people in Chicago than they would in South Carolina. I'm not going to come on your show and think and tell you I think that was a poor decision. But I think they were impressed by our property and the golf course itself. You know, the course, you've played it. It's unusual for this country. It's a real championship course. We asked Tom Fazio to build a golf course where the best players in the world would really enjoy playing it. And if you go back to its yardage of 7,800, I think it's the hardest course in the country per yard. The standard scratch or course rating, you would call it, is 79.4 from the tips. So it was built to test the best players in the world. And when the Canadian Open was cancelled, or because of COVID, they came to us and said, would you like to host it? And Mr. Friedkin said, absolutely. And we had, I think, 72 days from when the contract was inked to, and it was one of those things, Charlie, where you really don't have an option. There's a stop date, and it's a hard stop. And we just all worked very hard and had great help, and the PGA Tour was supportive, and we did manage to pull it off. So that was incredible for Dan and the family. They were thrilled that we could have done that within 3 years of opening.
And now all of the juniors that you host at the facility get the exposure to one of the great golf courses, and that's going to help their golf game. They're going to be exposed to things they've never seen before. And I know you as a young man grew up in Aberdeen, and those courses were similar to what you have now, and with the wind so it wouldn't be surprising that one day somebody out of your group of juniors over the next 10 years go on to win a major championship, and it would not surprise me at all.
Well, Charlie, that's nice, but what we tell our kids is 1% of young men and women who play NCAA Division I golf play a tour. But you need to graduate from college. So that's what we're trying to do. We line them up for scholarships. And so far, nearly every kid who's come through our program has ended up with a very good scholarship at a school that's a fit for them, whether that be academically or their own golfing ability. And that's really what the week's about, is you got to graduate. And our first class, 217, is going to matriculate soon. Some of them are actually really listening. They're staying on to do their masters at the various colleges they're at, because they can still make a great career with golf being part of it. But as you know, you have to be super special to even think about playing the tour. And what we're trying to do is make sure that our kids come out to be great members of society.
Well, that you're doing. You did, you know, you're exposed to so much greatness when you're the golf pro at River Oaks, the assistant to Dick Harmon. You've seen it all. And I'm going to ask you if you could stay for the next segment, because I want you to tell me about your opinion on what Greg Norman is doing with his Saudi-backed tour. Now he announces that he's going to really encourage amateurs to play in his events. The golf horizon is ever changing. There's some, you know, great things happening, and we'll talk a little about Phil Mickelson on what he's exposed himself to. You're a man, you know, that stays abreast of everything. So if you'll stay tuned, we'll go with Sean. And everybody, we'll be right back. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, an HR company that cares.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Hello, everybody. We're back. This is Charlie Epps. Will is home sick. We're on. I have our guest, Bruce Davidson, talking golf, and we're going to change the subject just a little. But before I go to Bruce, I want you to understand one thing. The most important thing that we do in life is hydrate. Drink water. Water is the lifeline to great health. And now we have a bottle of water called How Water that's infused with oxygen. So every time you drink water, you get more oxygen. And believe me, during the heat of the summers, we need oxygen along with water. How Water, think about this. Just drink howwater.com and just read all about it, and in the next few months, we're going to be getting more information out about hydration, about how much oxygen you need to play around the golf, to keep your mind straight, and I'm proud to have them as our sponsor here in Texas, and we're going to grow the business. So, Bruce, and I know you know how important water is, but with the announcement that Greg Norman's coming out with, worldwide golf, worldwide money from the Saudis. That's been controversial. Mickelson kind of stepped on his foot coming out and saying things he shouldn't have said. Greg Norman also, there's a little controversy going on. And I don't think controversy is bad because we have a change of direction now where his product's going to be more about amateur golf for the first year, starting in June, and then grow from there. But he's got $250 million to work with, so it can't be too bad.
Well, Charlie, I wasn't aware of the amateur announcement. I'll have to guess, spent yesterday on a plane coming home to Houston. But I think whatever I see here is not a reflection on my owner, but I have my own feelings about Greg Norman and his tour. And I think history has a way of retelling itself. If you go back 30 years, Norman had this idea that Fincham quashed, and then very publicly, and then it ended up doing it anyway, which is what the WGC events are now. And I think just to read past opinions here, look at where we are in golf. There are too many good players and not enough money for everyone to go around. And, you know, I've been on your show before, and Billy was on, and you guys called me a socialist golfer, which I'm not. But the PGA Tour left its flank open to me because they didn't put enough money down to the Korn Ferry Tour. I would still say to this day that I would bet on the top 50 Korn Ferry against the last 50 on the PGA Tour if their mortgages were on the line. And you cannot reward someone for mediocrity and guarantee them a job every year. No company works like that. So whoever 124th on tour is, he's making over $1 million, and nobody knows his name. And so we've kept these kids from the Korn Ferry down. The leading money winner on the Korn Ferry doesn't win $500,000 a year. Now he gets his chance to go up to the tour, but he doesn't get the same starts. And they're still giving exemptions to past winners of various events, you know, and I've said this before, Carl Lewis doesn't get an invite into the Olympic 100 meters because he won it in 1984. Time moves on. So the PGA Tour left himself open, I think, to competition. Mickelson probably inadvertently saved the PGA Tour when he first of all criticized them for the media rights issue. And then I think he thought he was going to go across the hallway and pick up a big check. And I don't think they thought he was worth as much as he did. And then he came back and he lambasted Norman. And so he made that a poison chalice for any other guys to accept. But Steve Elkington told me that some of the money that Norman was offering some players, I'm not going to name them, that are, yeah, great players, they're on TV a lot, but they're not really winners, was, you know, 50, 60, 70 million to jump on board. And that's got to be tempting for a guy because he's got a family to feed and he's won wrist injury away, a.k.a. Billy Ray Brown, from not playing again. So it is controversial. I have no idea where it comes out. If the tour were smart, I think they would really prop up the Corn Ferry Tour and make sure that the young bloods of the game are making enough money to keep playing. Because it's hard to make a living out there.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Major League Baseball does the same thing in our country. Minor League Baseball players, they make $800 a month to play in the game. So the process is similar to what the PGA Tour does with its programs. But they've started tours in Canada and China and South America. They're growing the game. But I think the infusion of this money is going to help a lot of guys, and I think they're going to put a lot of money on the Asian Tour, and the Asian Tour has been very successful in because of television rights and so on and so forth. But you know where this ends, nobody knows. But anytime you're growing something, it's got to be better than not.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's just how you grow it. There's got to be parameters.
Well, I just found out that this morning in reading the Sports Illustrated read on the internet. So how that's going to work out? I mean, I just found out that two of the top collegiate players are going to stay in college one more year and get their master's. So the kid from Texas A&M and the kid from Oklahoma State are going to stay and mature one more year, and I think that's excellent. The kids, just like you say, graduate from college, don't come out too early, and you'll be set up for life, huh?
Charlie, there are so many good players on the tours now. I mean, if you look at some of the guys that come to Congaree to practice, they don't win. I mean, they may win on occasion, but they don't win. And you see them playing golf, and it's so different to when I turned pro 40 years ago. I mean, Wisnom and Lyle and Faldo and Ballesteros were way better than everybody else, and there was just a huge gap. But now there are so many good players, and then so many people can win. It's tough to turn pro today.
It really is, and another something that's close to both of our hearts is the Ryder Cup. And the Ryder Cup, what's its future? What is it going to change? I mean, we had an agreement with the European Tour, which is no longer. And this, a couple of weeks ago, they named Zach Johnson as a Ryder Cup for the U.S. team in Rome in 2023. And European Tour, they named Henrik Stenson. How do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, both fiery competitors. Zach Johnson is a real grinder. You know, we all know his story, an Open champion and Masters champion. Stenson won that thrilling Open championship not too long ago. I don't think it's so much about the captain, Charlie. I don't like the rule changes. You know, for 8 or 9 Ryder Cups, Europe won, and America was always trying to change the rules. How many picks can we get? And right now, America, I believe, has more picks than Europe gets. And a lot of the Europeans play on the PGA Tour full-time. So, I mean, there should be, to make it really fair, both teams should get the same amount of picks, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't disagree with that, but the thing now is seeing we're going worldwide. Can the Ryder Cup exist with its format and it not include other great players? Because it's really not against United States and Great Britain and Ireland. It's United States against the European Tour. Now the European Tour is the Asian Tour. Are we going to see Asians and the rest of the world involved with the Ryder Cup?
Well, you're changing history, Charlie. You know, you're taking over something started with Samuel Ryder all those years ago, and then to make it equitable because the Americans were winning, the Europeans were taking in. Maybe they do, but then what happens to the President's Cup? So both of those are money-making entities, as you know, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine they'll change the Ryder Cup because it still is the number one watched sporting event with regards to golf. So I think it would be folly to change it. Everyone looks forward to that. Okay. The rivalry that exists, I mean, if you go back 25, 30 years to when Ballesteros was playing, that's when the rivalry really started, and it's still palpable.
Yeah.
And I don't think the President's Cup is, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not intense, but it's not at the same level as the Ryder Cup.
Agreed. Okay. Now, before we're running out of time here, and I think, and this is we're going to change to instruction to close the show out. The Masters was won by chipping, and what I mean by that is that Scotty hit so many great chips, and in the moment he chipped in on three to change the whole, you know, scope of that day. Now, we know Scotland chipping. Scotland, you know, you're supposed to play the game more on the ground. If you were going to give me a two-minute lesson on chipping, what would you say for our listeners?
Well, there is a difference between chipping and pitching. Chipping, to me, is something with like a 7-iron or 6-iron or a hybrid now, where you basically putt with loft. Scottie Scheffler, I think, is the master at hitting low pitches, like Jordan Spieth. But both times, what's very important in both shots is that you have to have the ball position back and the weight leaning forward just a little bit to make sure that you don't scoop it, because it is a slightly descending blow on the ball. And depending on the club you use, the less loft, the less spin. The further from the hole, the less loft you need. The closer to the hole, the more loft you need. And again, I would say to you, Charlie, to be a contrarian, I think the Masters changed when Cam Smith threw the ball on the ground on 12-tee. Nicholas said, always use a tee on a par 3, because if you hit it fat, it'll still get to the green. I think that's when it changed.
No, there's no doubt about that. That shot was, and it happened so many times in the past. So that is
why not tee it up?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Bruce Davidson. I can't thank you enough for sharing your time with us this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Your project, you and John McNeely and Mr. McNair and Mr. Freakin, what a wonderful, wonderful job you all have done and what you're going to do here in the future. So thanks a million for being on the show, Bruce, and we hope to have you again here shortly.
Charlie, thanks for all that you do for golf. It's a pleasure to come on, and stay well, my friend.
Okay. That's Bruce Davidson, everybody. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We got a couple more minutes, and we talked about chipping. Learn how to chip. Learn how to have minimum air time, maximum ground time. That's what we always taught when I worked for Golf Digest. And it's like Bruce said, play the ball back, play the loft of the club. See, Scotty was chipping with his, you know, wedges, his 60-degree wedge, and that puts a little more spin on it, but you got to hit the ball first, ground second. And as the great Harvey Penick taught us, you want to try to hit the ground in front of the ball, not behind the ball. Behind the ball is a no-no. You know, you don't want to hit the green grass before the white golf ball. And that's done by chipping, eyes in front of the ball, choke down on the club, get a little control of the club so that you have maximum feel in controlling, and it's not a rush shot like I'm getting. We're going to, you know, I appreciate you all tuning in today. This has been the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. That makes the difference. They're an HR company that really wants to help. Sean, how'd I do? We do okay? You know, flying solo is good, but I appreciate all our listeners tuning in. And tune in next week, and we'll be back with more golf on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, everyone, I want to leave you with this thought. Hydration. Hydration, summer's coming. And I want you to log on to drinkhowwater.com and read the story about oxygenated water with oxygen infused in the water. It's so much better for you. It will help your hydration. It's a great story, and we're going to be telling everybody about it over the next year. Drink water. Drink hydrated. To hydrate yourself, drink good water. Drink How Water. DrinkHowWater.com. Log on to that. You're going to learn about hydration, the benefits, and it tastes great, and it's in an aluminum can, and it will stay cool as you play in this summer heat in Houston, Texas, or in Texas itself. So, Charlie Epps again, talking golf. It's been fun. Sean, thank you very much for your help and guidance, and I hope everybody has a great week. We're going to celebrate Easter this weekend, and next week we're going to go into to more golf. And anyway, you ready to go? See you, everybody. God bless you all. Thank you.